Good morning.
Good morning.
So here we are, round two. Did this once already, and I found out I was just as nervous the second time as the first time. Hoped that wouldn't be true, but it was. This is the day I've been looking forward to for 5 or 6 weeks. But I want to thank all of you who have encouraged me and been excited and cheered for me and told me that you're excited to hear me and came especially to hear me. I feel really loved, and I thank you especially for everyone who prayed for me. That was very important, and I felt it. I want to explain why I might have responded a little awkwardly when you said, "Oh, I'm so excited to hear you speak." Well, here's why. It felt like when I went into labor with my second baby, I knew what was ahead of me, and it felt hard. But we had a good friend coming over to take care of our first child. Her name was Marion Chapin. She was in the early service. And when she got there to our house in the middle of the night, she said, "I'm so excited. We're going to have a baby." And I thought, yeah, great. That's how I felt when you told me you were so excited that I'm going to speak. In the end, though, when that baby came, I think I was more excited than Marion was, so I don't know if that'll happen this morning. Before I start, I'd like to take a minute and say Happy Mother's Day to my mom, who's watching, I think, this service. And thank you for being a good mom. I get choked up. Words can't say enough thank you for all the love, all these decades that you have given to me and to my family. I love you, Mom. Yeah. So to loosen us all up, including me, I thought I'd start with just a few jokes. This first one is in honor of my youngest daughter, who is a new time mom this Mother's Day. Her baby is just barely 3 months old. And I can tell you from experience and from watching my kids, moms don't wish that they could sleep like a baby. They know that babies don't sleep that great. They wish they could sleep like a dad. Then there's, have you heard the urban legend about what happens when you scream out, "Mom, Mom, Mom," in the shower? A nice lady appears with the towel that you forgot. And then I hate it when I'm waiting for mom to cook dinner, and then I realize I'm the mom. Happy Mother's Day. Those words are supposed to make us think fondly of our mothers, buy them a card, maybe take them out for dinner, which is all good stuff. Being a mom, I like cards and dinner. But I realize that they can cause pain as well. I dare say, in this fallen world, that almost all of us have some pain or at least conflicting emotions about Mother's Day. For some of us, there's the pain of a strained relationship with our children. For others, it's because I wish I was a mom and I'm not, for whatever reason. And for almost everyone, there is the pain of the gap between what a mother's love should be and the mother's love that we actually received. There's a line in a worship song that I really like. Talking about God, it says, "You love like a father should." And I love that because God doesn't love like a father does or like a father doesn't, but like a father should. And we all kind of instinctively know what that's like, right? But God also loves us like a mother should. And we all instinctively know what that's like. First, I would like just to encourage those of you who Mother's Day doesn't make you happy or joyful for whatever reason. Those of you who want to be moms and are not, I just want to remind you that God sees you. He's the one who fashioned you with that heart that longs to mother and to love. He understands, and he's not forgotten. In fact, there's an amazing promise in Isaiah 54, verse 1, that says, "Sing, barren woman. You who never bore a child, burst into song and shout for joy, you who were never in labor, because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband, says the Lord. Who can make that happen? Only the Lord. If you will receive it, there are many, many children of the Lord who desperately need mothering. He will bring some of them to you. And in heaven, you will lack nothing. Then to those of you with estranged and are wayward children, and I know there's many of those, he sees you too. He also sees your children. In fact, he leaves 99 children that are safe at home. You can put that one up. To seek after the one that's lost. He's never going to stop looking. He's heard every prayer you've prayed, and he's caught every tear that you've shed. And it's not over as long as we're here. It's not over. As the saying goes, if it's not good, it's not over. That's because in Romans 8:28, it says that he works all things together for the good of those who love him. And that includes the good of your children, because what matters more to you? Not much. He cares about what you care about. And I also want to say to mothers who maybe feel like their children don't respect or honor them, the Lord does. I was always struck in the Gospels seeing how Jesus honored his mother. You know, he even changed his plans because his mother requested something. He turned water into wine before it was his time to honor his mother. And he sees you and he honors you. If there are people who don't honor your love and sacrifice and long-suffering, fear not, because the Lord has taken note. I did a search for honor your mother in the Bible, and there are too many verses to list here, but we all know the Ten Commandments. There's one that God himself etched in stone that says, honor your father and your mother, that it might go well with you. Then there are those of us who haven't known the love that we saw in those pictures of bears. Maybe we haven't felt that unconditional, self-sacrificial, always championing love of a mother. But we miss it because God created us to have it. It's kind of like my son when he was a teenager and a young adult, and when I would compliment him or say, hey, great job, you're amazing, he would say, yeah, Mom, you have to say that, you're my mom. Because he knew instinctively that a mother should always think you're amazing. Now, I was blessed because I have four children and they all really actually are amazing. Two of them are here today. But that's what we long for, but we don't always get it. And that's because the image of God in us has been broken. More on that to follow. So point one, the mother love of God. Sometimes we can forget that women and mothers were also created in the image of God. We know that God is our Father. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Male and female, in the image of God. So, in fact, he took something out of Adam, right, to fashion Eve, so that now it takes two to reflect the image of God. That means that the different qualities of fathers and of mothers can all be found in God. And in fact, there are several verses in the scriptures where God compares himself to a mother. Deuteronomy 32:18. God says to Israel, you were unmindful of the rock that bore you, and you forgot the God who gave you birth. Who gave you birth? I mean, only a mother can do that, right? In Isaiah 66:13, as one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. And one of my favorites, Isaiah 49:15. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. This is God speaking. You know, he's as attached to us as a nursing mother is to her baby. Those of you who have ever nursed a baby or been married to someone who has or been close to someone who has, you know that's pretty intense, right? You can't really forget about that baby because your body itself will remind you, oh, baby needs you. That's intense. God compares his love to that. He's the one who said, I will never leave you or forsake you. And then Jesus himself says in Matthew 23:37, to the city of Jerusalem, 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 how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. Well, a hen is a mother. The Lord is comparing his longing to care for and comfort his people to that of a mother. That's the love of God. It's pretty awesome, and it fills in the gaps. Unfortunately, and this is point two, the image of God in us has been broken, but there is a pathway back. God knows this. He said in that verse that's my favorite, even though she may forget, because he knew no mother is perfect, and you might have a mother who forgot. Who forgot to take care of you, who forgot to love you, who didn't know how, who wasn't capable. But he said, I'm not like that. I'm not going to forget you, not even for a minute. There's been a lot of talk and teaching in the past decades, I'd say, about father wounds. There's been movies, even in the secular world, about people searching for that love and affirmation from a father that they didn't get. In fact, Tom and I just saw another one the other day, a famous Christian songwriter who struggled his whole short life because of the rejection of his father. But did you know that there's also such a thing as a mother wound because of a lack of love from your mother? Well, the Lord sees that too. He's an expert at repairing those wounds. He's close to the brokenhearted, and he binds up their wounds, Psalm 147:3. Even those wounds that we might not have known that we were carrying. The first step to freedom is always forgiveness. If you feel angry when you think about your mom, today is the day that you can go free. In fact, would you pray with me right now? Lord, I pray that you would come and heal the brokenhearted. We confess that we need your mother bear kind of love. Come and love on us unconditionally. And let us know that you take great delight in us. We choose to forgive our mothers for falling short of the image of God, for not reflecting your love and delight to us. We release them to you, and we bless them on this Mother's Day. We all pray a blessing on our mothers or a blessing on their memory. Thank you for them, Lord. Thank you for forming us in their womb. Help us to know that you had plans and destinies that haven't changed, and that you will fight for us like a mother bear will fight for her cubs. And we decide that we will stop trying to fill up the void ourselves or earn mom's favor, and we will look instead to your eyes and the favor that we find there. In Jesus' name, amen. We will have altar time at the end of this service, and I've invited the Freedom Team, of which I am a member, to come and pray for people. We have seen how the Holy Spirit is so brilliant at finding empty places in our hearts and filling them up with himself. So we welcome you to come and receive prayer. The reason there will be prayer time at the end is because I don't have as much to say as my husband, so we might end early. Just remember, God loves you like a mother should, and more than she ever could. Point three, the path back to a mother's love, his image in us. So this last point is what I felt like the Lord wanted me to focus on so that we could go free today and leave our burdens here. And it's for all mothers, not just the ones with children, but any woman who loves anyone who has been fashioned in his image to carry his love for people. I believe that the Lord's desire for today is to bring a deeper freedom for all of us. And men, I don't want you to check out because you all had a mother, and you all, lots of you are married to mothers, so this might apply to you as well. But this is the part of the message that wasn't as fun to work on, and it was a little harder to write, and I might have procrastinated and looked up some jokes. So before we launch into it, how about a couple more? The first one I would like to dedicate to my daughter Beth, who is up here today with her firstborn son. who is barely 3 months old, Jeffrey Thomas. When your mom asks you if you want some advice, try to remember that's a rhetorical question. And try to just listen, right? My daughter thinks I'm nosy and controlling. Well, at least that's what she wrote in her diary. So we've all heard jokes about controlling mothers or mother-in-laws. There's my husband's favorite joke, behind every good man is a surprised mother-in-law. Many ethnicities have these jokes about controlling mother-in-laws. Jewish mother-in-law, Italian mother-in-law, Irish mother-in-law, you know, probably every ethnicity is what I'm guessing. I would like to propose to you that there's a reason for this, and that nearly all mothers will struggle with the temptation to be or try to be controlling, which is not a fun thing to talk about, but we're going to talk about it. I was thinking about it this morning, and I realized even Jesus was tempted by the devil with the urge to control things. He was offered all the kingdoms of the world in exchange to bow down. And he could have made everything right in the whole world right away. But he didn't do that. And moms, we don't need to do that either. I'm going to ask you a question. Don't raise your hand or answer out loud. Just think of the answer to yourself. How many of you think that your mother was either very controlling or somewhat controlling? If the answer is yes, I want you to know that being controlling or trying to control others, specifically your husband and children, is something that's called a generational curse. If you don't know what that is, it's just a pattern of thinking and behavior that is sinful and passed on through generations. We're all familiar with the phenomenon that often children of alcoholics become alcoholics themselves or abusers. And this is not quite those things, but sinful behavior is passed on. And as I was preparing this message, I realized that this particular behavior pattern goes all the way back not just to great-grandmothers, but to Eve herself. After the first couple disobeyed God in the garden, the Lord said to Eve, Genesis 3:16, "Then he said to the woman, 'I will sharpen the pain of your pregnancy, and in pain you will give birth, and you will desire to control your husband, but he will rule over you.'" Just a brief aside, not every translation says to control. Lots of them say your desire will be for your husband. But there's really good reason that it's translated this way. I believe it's consistent with another scripture earlier in Genesis, or later in Genesis. But you can look it up if you want, or ask me later, because I'm not here to go into the proof of that. So if this sin was passed on from Eve, does that mean that all women get it? Well, I think it means that we all are going to have to resist that temptation one by one. But we can choose to be free of it. Can we be free? Absolutely, we can be. That's what the gospel's all about, right? The Bible says that it was for freedom that Christ set us free. But before we look at that, let's examine our own hearts and see if we find this tendency in ourselves. I'm going to ask a couple diagnostic questions. Now remember, moms, I'm talking to you, and not just mothers of children, but women, all women created with a heart to mother. And you know what? Men can be controlling too. So it doesn't hurt to ask yourself these questions. So ask yourself, or if you don't know the answer, ask your spouse or ask a good friend. Do I sometimes lose sleep thinking about a conversation I could have with my child and what I could say that would change their behavior or alter their circumstances? Do I pray about the same things every time I come to God? Do I have peace and joy when I think about my husband, my wife, my children, my grandchildren? Or do I have stress, anxiety, or maybe regret? Do I trust that the Lord has good plans for my family? Or do I think that I have to constantly keep vigil to protect them from all the harm in the world? Well, if you answered yes to these or no to the question about having peace, chances are pretty good that you're operating from a desire to control things. How do I know? Well, I get to tell you that I've been there, in fact, quite recently. In fact, 2 weeks ago, I pray with a couple of friends of mine. We pray for each other, freedom prayers, once a month, and it was my turn. And because of some anxieties I shared, it came up that I had this issue of control, trying to control. I thought I had dealt with that. Turns out it's a sticky one because we probably don't know any other way to be or any other way to parent. But the bad fruit of controlling is anxiety or grief that never gets better. Because no matter how much we might want to be in control of things or try to be in control of others' behaviors, we just aren't and we never will be. So we live anxiously, waiting for change or else trying to move the hand of God with our constant reminders. What's another word for constant reminding? Nagging. Did you know that you can nag God? The thing about God is he has really healthy, strong boundaries. He doesn't get nagged. So I know a lot of you came because you want to hear like the other side of the story or see the woman behind the man that you hear all the time. Truth is, I like being a little bit of a mystery. I don't mind being in the background. It's worked real well for us. I was attracted to Tom because he's so good at speaking. And that was one of the reasons. So good at public speaking, so fearless, because that's not something that I am. But if you want to hear a little bit, here's a little bit of my story. So I became a mother for the first time in my early 20s. I'd only been a Christian for a couple of years. Tom and I were both kind of new at Christianity and completely new at parenting. I didn't think that much about it because I didn't have time to think about it. Before we'd been married a year, we had baby number one. 22 months later, we had baby number two. 5 years later, we had four. Amazing, have I told you. Incredible children. But I didn't have much time to think about how to parent. And the thing that was a little surprising was the love that came with this child, like it just was there. All of a sudden, I didn't know where it came from. I hadn't like always loved children or always been drawn to babies, but my babies, wow. Well, this is why I wear this. My babies were a big deal and I loved them intensely. I desired to take care of them and protect them. It was kind of overwhelming. I was raised in a good home with two great parents, my mom and dad. So I just did what came naturally. I mean, I wanted, so I didn't worry about it. But here's the thing, I didn't know how to cover all the bases. By nature, I'm kind of a last minute, go with the flow type, but suddenly that wasn't gonna work. There were four innocent, sort of, little, incredibly precious people depending on me for their every need. They all needed to be fed, like there's so much feeding involved. 3 times a day, and that's not when they're born. That's, I don't know, 10, 12 times a day. 7 days a week, and there's no break. There's not like a day off where you don't have to feed people. They needed to be clothed, school clothes, play clothes, winter clothes, summer clothes, shoes, swimming suits. They needed doctor appointments, eye exams, dentist appointments, haircuts, orthodontist appointments, piano lessons, instruments for band, equipment for sports teams. They needed their fees to be paid. They needed rides to school and to all their extracurricular activities. The list just went on and on. Sometimes they got sick, and then there was the stress of trying to figure out, does this necessitate a trip to the doctor, or will they just get over it because we didn't have a lot of money, and so we couldn't just run to the doctor. And so that was very stressful. So way back then, I took the mantle, trying to control everything, trying to remember everything, trying to write everything down. It's the only way I knew how to do it. What I didn't realize was, this doesn't work. We don't really have any control. It's an illusion. Even if we do everything right, things can still go wrong. Isn't that why God put the book of Job in the Bible? It's scary to live in this world. Bad things happen. And Job's friends wanted to control things too. They wanted to figure out, what did Job do wrong so that it doesn't happen to me? Children can make bad choices. You know what? They have free will. And it can be really irritating. God told me once about one of my kids, you know, their free will is my gift to them. And I'm like, what? But they chose wrong. How is that a gift? We like to have free will, as Jeb pointed out to me, but we don't want everyone else to have free will. We want them to do what we tell them. But for some reason, it's really important to the Lord. So it can be enough to make us cry out, who's going to save us from this mess? Who's going to save my children? Well, that's the good news. God will. He did, and he does. But you know what? He's not going to step on our free will. As long as we try to do it ourselves, he'll let us try, that is. So when my friends in that prayer time asked me, do you control your children? I had to laugh because I'm like, my children are not controllable. Of course I don't. And then, do you control your husband? Well, that's even funnier because my husband has really healthy boundaries. By the way, I don't dress him. He dresses himself. But just because your family is uncontrollable doesn't mean that you aren't trying. After my kids grew up and married four more people who I can't control, hi, John and Junior, I shifted to trying to control God, but I didn't call it that. You know, I called it intercession. I called it prayer, telling God how to fix the mess that is whatever the mess is. After all, I do love them, maybe more than anyone else on earth, so I tried to tell God what to do. And after some tragic things that happened in our family, I had a good mother and I have great kids, so I haven't suffered those tragedies, but we have had tragedies, and here's what I learned. God is more than enough. No matter where you are, no matter what you need, he's enough all by himself. He's enough. He can fill every broken place, every lack. The Lord, through the Holy Spirit, wants to fill that place. Anyway, I began somewhere deep down to doubt that God had our best interests at heart, that I could trust him. I didn't like something that he let happen. So I tried to storm heaven, asking him to make it right the way that I thought would make it all better. Well, let me just tell you, that's different than trusting God. It's telling him what to do, how to run my little universe of my people. Tom said it last week, God isn't looking for advisors. He already knows everything. He knows better than I do what my kids need, what my grandkids need. Well, there's a thought. He loves them more than I do. Do I really believe that? Well, maybe not, and maybe you don't either, but today you could start. The first step is to repent. Of what? Of loving my kids? Of wanting the best for them? No. Of not trusting that God loves your kids, that he wants the best for them, that he's good, like we sang. He's a good father. He's a good mother. He's heard your prayers, and he has good plans. When he formed your children in your womb, he had plans for them, and he still has those plans. He hasn't forgotten. I don't need to remind him constantly what they need. So, I hope that I have instilled at least a desire to be free today, free from the very heavy burden of trying to control outcomes. Little children know that they aren't the boss, although they start really young trying to be the boss, don't they? But if they are secure in their parents' love and wisdom, they will be free, lighthearted, and joyful, like my granddaughter Adelaide, who is over there somewhere, I think. I love you, Addie. That's what our God wants for his children, for you. Freedom to trust him, even when bad things happen. The scripture says he works all things together for the good of those who love him. Not some things, all things, even the bad things he can put it in. I found great freedom in laying my children down, in surrendering to the Lord's plans and to his wisdom.